Right. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us this morning here at Lighthouse Discipleship Center. We're sorry we're having a little bit of a late start this morning. We had some technical challenges. Anyway, I'm going to be doing my part two for Marveling Tenacity. I want to also say happy Mother's Day to our moms out there. I don't have necessarily a Mother's Day message this morning, so I'm just going to be continuing with our part two this morning. But anyway, just so you know, all of our teachings are archived on our website at lighthousediscipleship.org, as well as our YouTube channel, Lighthouse Discipleship Center. And we just want to say thank you to all of us who have partnered with us with their contributions. Anyway, with that said, let me go ahead and jump into the message this morning. We're running a little behind schedule. And again, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of our moms out there. You guys are awesome, and so there's a lot I can say about that. But anyway, let me just jump into our message this morning. This is part two of my new series titled, Marveling Tenacity. That sounds like a strange title, but I'll explain it again as I explained it last week. This title comes from Jesus, where twice he made a comment that he marveled at something. He didn't necessarily make the comment, but it's stated that he marveled at something. One in the positive sense, the other in the negative sense, they're both surrounding faith. And so we'll be talking about faith again this morning. So let's just do a little bit of review. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. When the positive story comes in, I'm not going to read the whole story again. I got to pick it up verse 8. When the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should be come under my roof." He's praying for his servant who is ill, but only speak a word. And my servant will be healed, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, that's where the phrase comes from, and said to those who follow, "But surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." So, last week we looked at several accounts where Jesus responded to the person who was coming to him for prayer, for someone else, for himself, or themselves, or whatever it might be. And he commented on such great, their faith. And he made something of the statement of this, like if we see in verse 13, "As you have believed, so let it be done for you." And that's where the phrase tenacity comes. Because each of these cases that I read last week, there was a tenacity of them expressing great faith. And not all these cases didn't necessarily say that Jesus marveled, but his response was a marveling response. Okay, now let's look at the negative sense of this one. Let's go to Mark chapter 6 real quick, and again, I'm going to pick it up midstream. And he said, Now he could do no mighty works there. He's in Nazareth, his hometown, except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and he healed them. And he marveled, again, because of their unbelief. So on the flip side of it, one, he marveled at great faith, and on the flip side, other side of it, he marveled because there was no faith at all. Okay, and so he marveled. So anyway, these are the two accounts where the title of this message comes from, the concept of this message. And my heart behind this is that Christianity is supposed to work. Folks, we should be the healthiest people. We should be the happiest people. We should be the most victorious people on the planet because of what Christ has done for us, who Christ is. He's not just somewhere. He's inside of us. We are in him. He's in us. And we almost act as Christians as if the cross of Christ did nothing and accomplished nothing. And that's not true. That's not good news. But there is good news. And it needs to work. But there needs to be a demonstration of faith. It's not just a demonstration to please God, but there needs to be a mindset, an attitude of tenacity. Okay, there needs to be this determination, expectation, to see results, okay? And the best way to increase your faith, the best way to strengthen your faith is not so much talk about faith or to study faith, but to study the goodness of God, to study the nature of God. If you get a revelation by the Holy Spirit of who God really is, your faith will become strong. But if you have a misconstrued conception and perception of who God really is, your faith is not, there's going to be unbelief. Okay, and there's not going to be many things going on. And that's where a lot of people are frustrated. That's why where a lot of people are stuck. Like, how come when I pray and not see results? How come it's not working? How come when I lay hands on the sick, they don't recover? And so whatever the case may be, but there's just a lot of unbelief. There's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of different things. And why is it not working? Well, the thing that always came up repeatedly with Jesus' ministry is that he saw their faith. Now, we'll look at a couple more real quick. I'm not going to read all the ones from last week, but we'll pick it up in Matthew 15. This is with the lady with the issue of blood. Okay. Came from, and she cried out to Jesus. No, I'm sorry. No, this is a Syrophoenician woman. Excuse me. I got the wrong story. He said, have mercy on me, the son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. And when he answered her not a word, his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So she's being ignored. And then she came and worshipped him and said, Lord, help me. She's tenacious. Okay? But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. So now he calls her a dog. And he said, yes, Lord, that even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She's tenacious. She's tenacious. She's going to get her prayer answered. And then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. And that's a response. That's a common refrain that we see in many of these stories that we shared last week. And again this morning, let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. There's a tenacity. And Jesus marveled. The word marvel is not used here, but the concept is. Okay, look at another one in Mark 5, where we do have the woman with the issue of blood. She had it for 12 years. She spent all that she had, but there was no results. But she reasoned in her mind that Jesus came and there was a big crowd. She reasoned in her mind, if I can only touch his clothes and his garment, I'm going to be well. So she crawled. She wasn't even supposed to be there by the law, by Levitical law. Because of her issue of blood, she's supposed to be outside the camp. And he looked around to see who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, she got healed. And came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. And so we see this tenacity. And the response to this tenacity is, is a marveling in the faith seeing results. Okay? Let's go to Mark 10. We have the blind man. So he's on the way to Jericho. We have the blind man, Bartimaeus. Okay? And he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And then many warned him, the blind man, to be quiet. But he cried out all the more. He was telling him, basically, shut up. And he just cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. He's tenacious. Okay? And so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And he called a blind man and said to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, it's funny that he rose and came to Jesus when he's still blind. Anyway, what do you want me to do for you? And that's the question. That's an open check question. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Okay, because God's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith. And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, I want that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith. How did he know his faith? This guy's been crying out. He was told to shut up. He just cried out all the more. He's tenacious. His faith has made you well. And the common refrain. And even in Paul, in Acts, in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a crippled man from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking and Paul observing him. Faith can be observed. Okay? You can hear it, you can see it, you can smell it, you can taste it. Okay? Observing him and telling him, seeing that he had faith to be healed. He saw that he had faith to be healed. There's a tenacity there. Faith can be seen. And said with a loud voice, excuse me, stand up straight on your feet, and he leaped and walked. Okay? So, as we're talking about faith, and I share this verse a lot, share this one more time and just recap. But in Philemon, it says that the communication of faith may become effectual by the knowledge of everything that's in you, every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So I'll come back to this verse later in our study, but we want our faith to be effective. That's why I want to bring it up right now. That's why I bring this up right now. Just that we want our faith to be effective. And there's one way that our faith becomes effective, that we are acknowledging every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. See, when we know who God is, and we know what we have in Him, we'll be tenacious. Because when you know healing is yours, victory is yours, blessing is yours, whatever the thing that you're crying out to God for, it's yours. You know that all that God's got to do is speak the word. And those of us who know and been around my teaching this long enough, we know that God has already spoken His word. He's already spoken us. He's already today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of healing. Today is a day of prosperity. Today is a day of your deliverance, whatever you need. Okay. So anyway, our major story that we're using to springboard this message this week and next week. Next week, again, I take a little different approach, but depending on how far I get today, because we had a late start. But on the same day, and so this is Mark chapter 4, when evening had come, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling, but he was in the stern asleep on the pedal. And they woke him up, saying, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace be still," and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they marveled, he doesn't use the word, but they marveled when fear deceived me, and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the seas obey him?" We'll come back to some of these statements in just a few moments if we get there today. So we have a story of Jesus and disciples going, crossing over to the other side. They're in a boat, and there's multiple boats. Jesus is obviously in the bigger boat, and he's sleeping in the stern. He's taking a nap, okay? He's been preaching all day. He's been ministering all day. He's tired, okay? But there's a big storm. And these disciples are not new to the sea. They understand the sea. They've been fishermen, many of them. And yet they are fearful, and they wake him up and they say something that most of us have said almost all of our lives when it comes to our prayers not being answered, whatever. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" I want to take the first part of the sentence of this question. "Do you not care?" And we talked about this at length last week, and I'm just going to recap a few things again from last week, and then we're going to get hopefully some new territory. Okay. The question basically is, how do you see God? How do you see God? Do you see God as not caring? Do you see God as doing nothing? Do you see God as being distant? If he's love, why isn't he doing anything? Is that your attitude or response, or has been your response? See, there's many of us have a distorted view or a distorted perception of who God is. And we wonder why our faith is not being effectual. Because we're not acknowledging every good thing in us. We're questioning God. Do you not care? Okay? And I went to this late last week, but there's a misperception of God that's very antichrist. It's stealing our inheritance. It's my leaning. Okay, couldn't get that word out. The love of God is my leaning. The image of God is a destructive theology. It's corrupting our image of God and our perception of God, and it's shipwrecking our faith. Okay, a wrong view of God will get wrong results. It won't work. It's not acknowledging every good thing is in Christ Jesus. And our faith becomes ineffectual. But because many of us have this attitude, this mindset, that God does not care. Because the disciples thought so. They just see miracle after miracle after miracle, and yet the response in this, I mean, they just had a whole day of miracles. They just saw all kinds of things happen all day. And now they were fighting for their own lives in the boat. And not trying to be unsympathetic, neither with Jesus. But Jesus' response to them was, he basically rebuked them. How? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? We'll get to this in a minute. But he expected them to deal with the storm. Instead, they had to wake him up from his nap so he could deal with it. Okay? See, it says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence for out of the issues of life. You shared this last week. See, in your heart is your perceptions, your vision of how you see God. Do you see God as not caring? He's hands off. He's not getting involved. Whatever will be, will be. Because if that's your perception, you will have a world of hurt all your life until you come to know the true God. See, it says in John 10:10 that the thief, Satan, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We give God a lot of credit for what the devil does. But God says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. This is the words of Jesus. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Our God is extravagant. But the thief comes to steal and kill this abundant life that we are supposed to be experiencing among many things. There's many things that can be under this umbrella of abundant life that we have shared a path and we'll share some more in a little bit. Okay? And right now, I'm just doing a quick little recap, trying to get to where we left off last week. I also shared last week from Hebrews 6:14, it says, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply. God says, while I'm blessing you, I'm going to bless you. While I'm multiplying, I'm going to multiply you. And that's enough, or strong enough, you could take that to the bank. But you put an oath on it saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. We need to get in church. What I'm trying to get in this first part, there's three main concepts I want to get in this whole idea of our perception of God. This whole idea of perception. What does this have to do with marveling tenacity? It has everything. Because if you don't have a right perception of God, you will not be tenacious to see your, you will not have faith, tenacity to see results. So we need to get a revelation, a biblical revelation of the nature of God, of the goodness of God, of the love of God, of the covenant of God, of God. Because if you don't have a right perception of who God is, you don't even know God. I don't mean to be so blunt, but if you don't know what God's really like, you don't know Him. Okay? I'm not trying to be mean, I'm trying to help you. Okay? Your perception of God has shaped you up to this point. It says in I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll come to that verse later. But we can't be tenacious where Jesus marvels at our faith if we have a wrong perception of who God is. We'll never be tenacious. We might be tenacious to the other side of unbelief where God can't do anything because our belief is we're expecting it to go wrong. We're expecting God not to come through. And we're waking Jesus up at the stern of the boat saying, don't you care? Don't you know what's going on in my finances? Don't you know what's going on in my family, my marriage, different things? Don't you know? Don't you care? Aren't you going to do anything? We might not necessarily say those words, but we think those words. Many of us have. We need to be like Abraham, where he did not consider his own body already being dead when he was 100 years old and he still haven't had a child yet, but he had a promise. Okay? But he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, being fully convinced that what God had promised he was able to perform, no matter how old he was, no matter how dead Sarah's womb was. If God said it, he'll do it. He was fully convinced, fully persuaded. Fully persuaded is not an attitude that says, God doesn't care. God's not involved. God's not going to do anything. It didn't matter how bleak it looked. Abraham did not even consider his age or Sarah's age, but only the promise of God, he was fully convinced. That's tenacity. Okay. It said in Psalm 23, it says, 27 verse 13, excuse me, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Many people have lost heart due to a wrong perception of God. Because it says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart without diligence, because out of it flows the issue of life. We've already covered that verse. But we need to guard our heart and believe unless we lose heart. How do we protect ourselves from losing heart? We need to believe in the goodness of God. I already talked about that, how the best thing to increase your faith, to strengthen your faith, to maintain your faith, is to study and dwell on and to meditate on the goodness of God. Instead, most of us meditate on the problem. Most of us are meditating on the storm. We're checking the weather report every 5 seconds. And I'm not just talking about the physical weather, even though that may apply. I'm talking about the weather of whatever we're going through. Our finances, our physical bodies, and different things. But he says, I would have lost heart unless I believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. See, from your heart, you have fellowship. Or you don't. See, this whole concept of knowing God is having fellowship with Him, having a relationship with Him. We need to have a relationship with God. And when you get to have a relationship with somebody, you get to know them. Okay? There's a lot more I can elaborate on that, but I teach on relationship almost in every message I teach. So, a lot of what I've just shared so far up to this point has been recap. Okay? And it goes back to this phrase in Mark chapter 4, do you not care? What is your perception of God? Jesus said, have you seen me? You've seen the Father. But now I want to deal with this other phrase and this question, do you not care that we are perishing? Okay? Because there's many of us, not only do we have a wrong perception of God, we have a wrong perception of ourselves. And both of those will keep us from being tenacious and trusting God. Instead, most of us, instead of trusting God, instead of not losing heart, because we don't believe in seeing the goodness. We're not focused on the goodness of God. We are focused on being a victim. And we have a victim mentality. This person did this. I'm suffering because of what the government's doing. I'm suffering because of what this person's doing. I'm suffering because of what I've done. I'm suffering because God's not doing anything. God doesn't care. He's not answering my prayer. I'm suffering because you did not give me money. You didn't support my family or my church or my ministry. And we have a victim mentality instead of focusing on the goodness of God. People have become your source for your problems or lack of help instead of God being your God and being your source. You're not tenacious. You're tenacious about judging people and getting on people's case. And you're tenacious about being a victim. If you have the wrong perception of God, but that's where it starts. If you have a wrong perception of God, you're going to feel like a victim. And there will be no tenacity. And your response will be, but Pastor Dave, don't you know I messed up? God's out to get me type of attitude. See, religion has taught so many misconstrued teachings. God's out to punish me because of what I've done. No, God punished Jesus for you on the cross. God's not in the punishing business. He's in the salvation business. Okay? See, if you look at it, well, God's out to get me. God's out to punish me. We all deserve death. We all deserve hell. But we've been gifted life. We've been gifted righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. See, it's not about what you deserve. We all deserve hell. We all deserve death. We all deserve destruction. It's about what Christ died to give you through the cross and his resurrection. But how do you see God? And based on that perception of God, how do you see yourself? Again, it says in Psalm 23, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. How do you think in your heart about God? How do you think in your heart about yourself? And how you think about God is the foundation. It's where all this starts. It's the beginning. How do you perceive yourself? Do you see yourself as guilty, unworthy, that you're second class, third class, or beyond, and you'll always be that way? If you have a wrong perception of God, and if you have a wrong perception of you because of the cross, post being born again, then church, I'm here to tell you this morning, you need to change your perceptions. You will never be tenacious, and you're not going to see results in your faith until you start knowing who God is, seeing his goodness, and seeing his goodness also includes the gospel, the good news, that will change your perception of who you are. Some of you act like the cross did nothing. That God's out to punish you for everything you've done wrong. And you never received his gospel. You never received Jesus to know that he paid for your sins. You were not worthy, but Christ gave you his righteousness. It's a gift. You didn't earn it. You can't earn it. But he gave you his righteousness so that you can reign in life. You need to change your perception of who God is and who you are, and combine those together, who he is inside of you. God's not there or here, he's here. You were a mess, he cleaned you up, and now he's dwelling inside of you. If you were still a mess, he wouldn't be there. And he says, surely, I will bless you. In blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. Why? Why? Why is he going to bless you? For what? For what reason? Why? Okay? Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ. God made a covenant with Jesus. And you are the beneficiary of that covenant. And God didn't cut a covenant with you. God cut a covenant with Jesus. And that covenant cannot be broken. And you forever, my friend, will be the beneficiary of that covenant if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Instead of making Jesus your Lord, most of you have made your circumstances, this victim mentality, your Lord. You bow to your circumstances instead of bowing to Jesus and changing your circumstances. That's what I'm getting to. I'm just getting ahead of myself. Okay? But we need to know how, we need to have the right perception of God, and we need to have the right perception of ourselves. We cannot have this victimhood. There's a lot of victimhood, complaining, whining, murmuring, complaining in the church. Versus this tenacity that I am blessed. I'm going to get the crumbs from the master's table. I'm going to get my sight back. My servant's going to be healed. My daughter, my son, is going to be healed. Folks, it says in Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of his glory and his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. This word accepted means highly favored, honored with blessing. We are accepted in the beloved. It's an everlasting blessing. See, how you view God is the plumb line, it's a baseline, it's a foundation. And if you don't have a right perception of God, you're not going to interpret this verse correctly. And when you have a good perception of God, you're going to have a perception of... See, do you believe God? Then you need to believe what God says about you. You need to see you the way God sees you. And he sees you as accepted in the beloved. I can use hundreds of more scriptures to piggyback everything than I'm saying right now. But I'm using this one. Do you see yourself the way God sees you? If you don't see yourself the way God sees you, then I question you whether you see God the way God should be seen. Do you see yourself as unworthy, incapable, inferior? For whatever reason. But if you have the right perception of God, and you have the right perception of yourself, you're going to see things happen in your life. It's powerful. But we need to renew our image of God, and we need to renew our image of ourselves. How do we do that? We walk in relationship with God. We walk in the blessing of God. Otherwise known as tenacity, we walk in the covenant of God, because every good and perfect gift comes from above. Okay? We need to walk in the goodness of God. We need to walk in the blessing of God. We need to walk with God. I shared last week, and I shared many times before, but when Moses said to God, "Show me your glory," God showed him his goodness. So when you see God's glory, you see God's goodness. They are synonymous. If you're walking with God, you're going to see the goodness of God. You're going to see that God's a good, good God, and the devil's a bad, bad devil. Surely blessing, he will bless you, and multiplying, he will multiply you. Why? Because you're a child of God. You're born again. It says in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has approved of all to me, saying, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." Folks, there's a lot here right now. I can share many verses along these lines. I just want to throw in real quick that it says in Acts 1:8 that we are supposed to be witnesses. We're supposed to be witnesses of Jesus. If we're supposed to be witnesses of Jesus, and the gospel, the good news, is supposed to be preached everywhere by us, because we are witnesses of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness, how can you share the love of God if you don't believe God loves you? If you don't believe that God loves you with an everlasting life, that with loving kindness he's drawing you to himself. If you don't believe that for yourself, how are you going to teach that to others? Because it's the goodness of God that will lead people to repentance. How are you going to teach the goodness of God that leads people to repentance if you don't believe God's good to you? How can you be an effective witness if you believe God's distant, God's angry at you, He doesn't care, and that you are just a worthless sinner? How are you going to see God change? How, if that's your attitude towards God, if that's your attitude towards yourself, how are you going to impact the world? How are you going to impact the world with a good God if you don't think He's good? How can God use you to draw people to Himself if you don't even know Him? And I'm not trying to get on your case. I'm trying to wake you up. Okay? But He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness, He's drawn. How does God draw people to Himself? With fear? Anger? Torment? No, with loving kindness. And so, I mean, I see so many posts on Facebook from many religious teachers. They're not teaching loving kindness. We see Jesus a burn. There is a hell. But that fear is not, fear is torment. John, in the book of John, John said, 1 John, those who fear have them not been made perfect in love. Fear is torment. You don't win people to Jesus through fear. You're going to scare them away. It's with loving kindness. It's with goodness. And we are supposed to be witnesses. Is your only witness of Jesus is that He torments people? That's not a witness. Okay? I talked about how our own perception of God needs to be good, and our own perception of ourselves needs to be good. But if all you're teaching other people is churn and burn, you're giving them a bad perception of God. Okay? But we have a God who's drawn us in with loving kindness. He has an everlasting love. He's accepted us in the beloved. Okay? We're highly favored. We're accepted in the beloved. We need to have this mindset of God. Not just to receive Jesus, but now that we are born again, we need to maintain this perception of God. Because if we don't have this perception of God, that He loves us with loving kindness, that we're accepted and beloved, and I can use many more scriptures, but I'm trying to go fast a little bit this morning. Okay? I apologize. But we are not going to be tenacious. Who would be tenacious if we think God's out to get us? He doesn't care. Why do you even go to church if you don't think God cares? Okay? But no matter where you are in your life, in your walk with God, I believe things can be better. And we need to take the limits off God, and we need to know God and His goodness and His loving kindness. We need to get rid of this victim mentality. It's a negative force in our lives. When we have this mentality that God doesn't care, He's not doing anything, He's just sleeping, watching us perish. That's a wrong vision, that's a wrong perception of God. What I'm saying right now, and what I'm trying to teach right now, I hope it's coming across well, but it's simple, but it's a powerful concept. Okay? It can change your life. It can change your circumstances. Being tenacious in your faith is powerful, but you can't be tenacious in your faith if you don't even know, you don't even have a healthy perception of God, and you don't have a healthy perception of yourself because of what Christ has done. Your perception of God and your perception of yourself have shaped your life to this point. So how's it going? How's life going right now? Because if you have a healthy perception of God, and you have a healthy perception of yourself, your life should be really good right now. I want to suggest that most of us need to have a new perception of how much God loves us, how much God is for us, who we are in Him, and who He is in us. It says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Or the King James said, "I expected it." Let me look at the first part. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." See, religion has painted the picture. Huh? He's pretty upset with me. We need to get rid of that. All of us have messed up. But God took all of our mess ups and He nailed it to the cross because He loves us. He's already dealt with your mess ups. It says in Isaiah, that God saw the travail of Jesus. This is a messianic prophecy. He saw the travail of Jesus and He was satisfied. God was satisfied with Jesus taking your mess ups to the cross and putting them on Jesus. God is not in the suffering business. Jesus said, "If you see me, you see the Father." How many times in the scriptures do you see that Jesus went to go make someone's life miserable? Destroying relationships, destroying people's physical bodies, destroying people's finances and careers. God will not make you suffer. That the devil will do that. People will do that. Okay? But in Christ Jesus, we should be the happiest people on the planet. We are the head and not the tail. We are above, not beneath. We are the children of God. Surely blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply. This is a promise. And so you say, "Well, that was made to Abraham." Yeah, I skipped over the verse, but if we're out of Christ, we have Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He says, "Surely I will bless you." I've been meditating on this verse the last couple of weeks. Surely I am blessed. I'm blessed in my hand, in my own life, my mind, my finances, my family, my business, my church. I'm blessed. And while I'm blessed, He's blessing me. And He's multiplying me. We should be the most blessed, the most highly favored, the most healthiest, the most prosperous people on the planet. Why? Why should we be the healthiest? Why should we be the most prosperous? Why should we be the most blessed? Because we are God's kids. God lives inside of us. Okay, what I'm teaching right now is the gospel. You might not have heard it this way, but I'm teaching the gospel of the kingdom to you. I'm preaching to you this morning that the kingdom of God is here. And he goes on, going back to Jeremiah. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. See, religion has taught us God's the author of evil. No. God's the author of your faith. It says in 1 John 3:8, "He who sins is of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Religion has taught in many ways, he might not have said the word, but religion has taught that God's the author of evil to teach us stuff. No. Sickness and pain and tragedy are not your teachers. The Word of God and the Spirit of God is your teacher. Okay? Why did Jesus come to destroy the works of the devil if the works of the devil are God's works? See, that's messed up. And this type of nonsense is taught in many churches on Facebook every day. Okay? We need to get it right that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God has come, Christ has come, that we might have life and life abundantly. We need to get that figured out. We need to know what side we're on. We need to know what kingdom we are of. We need to have the right perception of God, and we need to have the right perception of ourselves. Go back to Jeremiah real quick. Sorry. To give you a future and a hope. Or an expected end. So if you have this attitude, doesn't God care that we're perishing? Doesn't God care? Is he going to do anything? So, you know, when people have this attitude, this mindset, is God going to do anything? Can I just remind you of a few things that God has done? He's giving you his name, the name above every name. He's given you his blood that washes you and cleanses you and makes you your sins as white as snow. He's given you his life, the resurrection life of Jesus. Excuse me. He's given you his word that's living and sharper than a two-edged sword. He's given you his righteousness so that you can reign in life. He's given you his spirit who lives in you and through you. He's given you his covenant. We have a better covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. He's given you his promises. We'll look at this in a few moments. He's given us promises where it says in Peter that we can be partakers. Through these promises, we can be partakers of his divine nature and escape the corruption that's in this world. He's given you his authority. It's not delegated authority, it's inherited authority. Where we are able to trample over serpents and scorpions. And he's put all things underneath our feet, he says. The church. He's given you his armory. We have to put on the full armor of God and to withstand all the fiery darts of the enemy. He's given you his faith. You don't have to have your own faith, your own tenacity. He's giving you his. He's giving you the food of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, etc. Self-control. He's giving you all that. It's the fruit of the Spirit. He's giving you the keys of the kingdom. Where we can loose what needs to be loose and bind and lock what needs to be locked. He's giving you his wisdom. You don't know what to do? Ask. He's giving you his wisdom. He's giving you his peace. He's giving you his love. His love is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. He's giving you his joy. The joy of the Lord is his strength. And I can keep going on and on and on. And yet, many of us say, isn't God going to do anything? And I want to say to you, if that's your response and you've been walking with God for a while, are you out of your mind? Is God going to do anything? When are you going to believe the gospel? When are you going to believe God? God has done all these things. He's given us all these things. What more can he give you? He's given you his fullness. You have the fullness of God. See, religion has stolen so much. Religion has maligned the true nature of God. It's maligned the gospel of Christ. It's maligned our inheritance. Because we have a wrong perception of God. And based on this whole list that I just shared, all the things he's given us, we have a wrong perception of ourselves. That God is distant. He doesn't care. But he has overladen us with goodness, and he gave us his oath, and he said, let me get there. Surely, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. When we know this is true, we will be tenacious. We will be tenacious that we are blessed and we are not cursed. All right, let's go to Matthew. Matthew 11, 12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence shall take it by force. This is a very powerful scripture, but yet it's been very misunderstood by so many people through the years. They don't understand this. There's two different violences going on. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, suffers violence. Let me just deal with that real quick. There's many violences that come against the kingdom of God every day. Let me just say it this way. Anything that comes against the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, is violence against the kingdom. Anything that comes against your peace is violence against the kingdom. Anything that comes against your faith is violence against the kingdom. Anything that comes against your self-control is violence against the kingdom. Anything that comes against your joy is violence against the kingdom. Sickness is violence against the kingdom. Poverty, lack, is violence against the kingdom. Depression is violence against the kingdom. Anxiety, fear, worry is violence against the kingdom. But the violence, take it by force. There's two forces. There's a kingdom of darkness and there's a kingdom of light. There's a kingdom of the devil and there's a kingdom of God. And the violence take their blessing by force. It says in Isaiah, the works of my hands, you command ye me. Okay. We are children of God. We are the head and not the tail. We are above, not beneath. We are the righteousness of God. It says in Hebrews that his scepter is righteousness. We have the name of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus. We have the keys of the kingdom. We have the covenant of God. I just gave you a whole list of things that we have been given. We should be the most tenacious people who take it by force. We will be blessed. We will be healed. We will take it by force. But a wrong perception of God, a wrong perception of yourself, and you won't do this. You'll just take it. Versus the violent taking it by force. When you have a perception that God is distant, when you have a perception that God, that you're just unworthy, you won't be tenacious. You won't do anything. You won't fight the good fight of faith. When you've been given everything you need to reign in life, well, what have you been given? The blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus. The life of Jesus. This whole list of things I just shared. Folks, we are born again, and because we are born again, we are fully equipped. We are fully equipped with the kingdom of God. We have the keys of the kingdom, and we should be tenacious. We should be violent in taking our blessing that surely he has blessed us with. All you need, though, is the right perception of God and the right perception of yourself. God is good. God is for you. God lives inside of you. You're not a victim. You are tenacious. And you need to take it by force. You have an inheritance. If you don't know what that inheritance is, Paul prays it out in Ephesians chapter 1 that God has invested himself into you. He has the same power to raise Christ from the dead. You can be tenacious. You have the God of the universe. You have the keys of the kingdom inside of you. You have been destined to reign. It says in Revelation that, and they say in the new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll to open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God that we shall reign on the earth. We are blessed. Surely we are blessed. Stop complaining and start declaring. Stop complaining and start declaring. If you're not declaring that you are blessed, if you're not declaring the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the word of God, his righteousness, his spirit, all these different things, you're not convinced. And because you're not convinced, you're not totally persuaded like Abraham, you will not be tenacious. But you need to be fully persuaded, fully convinced, and not waver at the promises of God. Real quick, I know I'm a little bit over, but we had a late start, so I'm going over just a little bit. Let's go to back to Mark chapter 4 real quick. I talked about how we need to have the right perception of God. We need to have the right perception of ourselves. And then thirdly, if you have those two lined up, we need to have the right perception of our circumstances. And I want to end it with this real quick. So, back to our illustration from Mark chapter 4, when the disciples came to Jesus asleep in the boat, and they said, "Teacher, do not care that we have perished." We need to have the right perception of our God, and we need to have the right perception of ourselves. What was Jesus' response to this? He basically rebuked them. So he arose and he rebuked, first of all, the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace be still." He didn't waver at it. He didn't fast and pray for 40 days. He didn't like, "I guess we're going down. Like, I thought we were going over the other side." No, he knew who he was. He knew that we're going to the other side. Because he didn't do anything that he didn't see the Father do. And he said, "We're going to the other side." It doesn't matter how they're getting there. It doesn't matter if they fly over, walk over, take a boat over, whatever, might swim over. They're going to the other side. He speaks to the wind. You need to speak to your problems. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But then he rebukes them. He says, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" They just saw miracle after miracle after miracle all day, the day before. And they feared exceedingly and said to another, "Who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him?" He rebukes the wind. See, they marveled at his miracle. He marveled at their lack of faith. The word marvel is not used here, but that's what's going on. He rebukes them. "Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no tenacity? You have no faith." See, he expected them to speak to the wind and the sea. He expected them to feed the multitudes. He already gave them authority over all the works of the enemy. They were supposed to do this. And let him have a nap. He'd been working all day. He expected them to have faith over the sea and over the wind. How many of you are crying out all night, "God, don't you care? Don't you see I'm perishing? We have no money. We have no nothing. How is it you have no faith? No tenacity?" Stop complaining and start declaring. Start speaking to your circumstances. You need to have a right perception of God. You need to have a right perception of yourself. You need to have a right perception of your circumstances. Too many of us have become slaves of our circumstances. We fear circumstances. We don't know what to do. We have this mindset, "God doesn't care. Why is he not doing anything?" Excuse me, we are perishing and we have no faith. No tenacity. Instead, we have religious mindsets. He gives and takes away. Circumstances are meant to be overcome. Circumstances are meant to change. We've been fully equipped with his name, with his word, with his blood, with the spirit, with the keys of the kingdom, with the covenant of God, everything I just shared. What more do you need? When circumstances come against you, your family, your ministry, it says in 2 Peter, "By which we've been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises we might be partakers of the divine nature of God." excuse me, having escaped the corruption of this world. How do you change your circumstances? How do you change the corruption that's in the world? Through the promises. You need to have a right perception of God and a right perception of yourself. And a right perception of your circumstances. God will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but your circumstances must bow to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Who is your Lord? Your circumstances or God? Who's your Lord? By these we escape the corruption of this world. Do you even know the promise of God? Do you even know the Word of God? Do you know God? Choose to believe God, not the corruption that's in this world. Tenacity. Surely, blessing, I will bless you, and I will multiply. How do you see God? How do you see yourself? How do you see your circumstances? Do you see yourself under the table just scrapping for crumbs? Are you sitting at the table and having a feast on the promises of God? Change your perception. Change your tenacity. Know God. Walk with Him. Know your source. Know whom you have believed. Know Him who you have believed. Know Him. First John 5:4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, our tenacity. Don't make this a whole new subject. Where does faith come from? Where does our tenacity come from? It comes from hearing God. What are you listening to? You're listening to the news, you're listening to the doctor, you're listening to all these different things. Are you listening to God? Are you walking with Him? Are you having fellowship with God? Because it says, the communication of that faith becomes effectual as you acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. If you know this word communication, if you study it out in the Greek, it means koinonia, fellowship. The fellowship of your faith becomes effective when you acknowledge every good thing that's in you. How are you going to know every good thing that's in you? Walk with God. Have koinonia with God. Don't be afraid of circumstances. Circumstances are opportunities to show you the glory of God. To show the goodness of God. Tenacity. But first you got to get to know who God is. And second you got to get to know who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you need to be established in that. And I'll end with this, Mark. And so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. You know, study this out. Have faith in God, and we can take that to the bank. But a couple of other translations I just want to bring to your attention. The Young's Literal says it this way, and Jesus answers to them, have faith, the faith of God. And I can line that up with the fruit of the Spirit, for the fruit of the Spirit is one of the fruit of the Spirit is love. And when you study this phrase out in the Greek, it means to have faith in God. That's just how it says, and maybe you add an in or an of, because there's an of here and there's an in here. And I don't necessarily use this translation very often, hardly ever at all. I don't think I've ever used it. I even have to look it up, to be honest with you. But it's called the BBE. Someone shared this recently, and so I want to just bring to your attention, because I think it's spot on. The BBE says it this way. And have God's faith. You don't need your faith. You need God's faith. And you already, if you're born again, you already have the fruit of the Spirit. You already have God's faith. And then he goes on to say, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, speak to your mountain, speak to your wind, speak to the sea. Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe tenacity. That those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever you ask, meaning speaking, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Tenacity. Tenacity. We need to have the tenacity. We need to have the faith of God that calls those things which do not exist as though they do. We can have what we say. But we need to have tenacity. How do we have tenacity? We need to know who God is. We need to know who we are. And we need to know, have the right perception of our circumstances and compare it to who God is. But you won't be able to move in this realm of what we're talking about if you don't know God, you don't know who you are, and you don't know how to right perception of your circumstances. How do we have faith of God? How do we have God kind of faith? We walk with Him. We hear Him. You don't need to work up faith. You need to walk with the one who is the author of your faith. Speak to things. Take authority over your life. Take authority over your circumstances. Have tenacity. Don't let circumstances be your Lord. Don't bow to your circumstances. Bow to your God and make your circumstances bow to your God. Have tenacity. Surely, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply in you. We need to have tenacity that He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we ask, according to the power that works where? In us. We need to speak to some things. We need to have some tenacity. For all the promises of God are in Him, are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God, where? Through us. That through these promises. What promises? All the promises. That through these you may be partakers of His divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world. Marveling tenacity. Next week, I'm going to take a totally different turn. And we're going to be looking at the story of David. As you can tell by the image, there's some giants that need to come down. We need to have some tenacity. Okay? It's not so much trying to get Jesus to marvel. We don't need to impress God. We need to basically have the right perception of God, have the right perception of ourselves. And our giants are coming down. Okay? How do we grow our faith? Study and meditate on the goodness of God, the nature of God. Amen. I don't know if you got anything out of this morning. Sorry for the late start and late end. But anyway, you guys have a great day. Happy Mother's Day. And we'll see you next week.